Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively. Get a little baseball in here if you're watching out on the Zoom and out on the YouTube and out on our WNSTV channel at Baltimore Positive. You'll see I'm wearing my orange Curio gear here. Big thanks to Curio for presenting our 27th anniversary, and I am bringing all of my tastiness treats back for the holidays, since so many of them are dessert oriented anyway. Who doesn't want some chocolate chip cookies from Woodley? That's what I would say. I'm going to be giving away Raven scratch offs. It's been a lucky batch. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is back out on the road beginning next Wednesday. Lots and lots of stops, three in a row next week, two in a row the following week. You can find it all out at Baltimore Positive, as well as our friends at GBMC. Keep me alive and well. Take care of my health, your health as well. We'll continue to discuss men's health through the holidays for everybody getting together and having turkey and ham and eggnog, amongst other things. And I'll also have some candy cane scratch offs to give away when we kick things off. Fadley's on the 18th, or excuse me, Fadley's on the 11th, and then on the 12th we'll be at Di Pasquale's, and then next Friday we're going to be at Honey's in Halethorpe. I hope I get the dates right. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the following week we're going to be at Costas on the 18th, and we're going to be at that's what. Yeah, I'm getting dates all met. Thursday I'll be at Costas doing rock and roll with Gina Shock, and then Friday I've added this bonus. Dan Rodericks and I are going to get together at Gertrude's at the BMA with my cousin by marriage, John Shields. Always great to have a real chef in the family to talk about the Feast of the Seven Fishes. And I'll probably drag Nancy Longo over there to talk some cooking or something like that. Luke Jones is getting dragged in here right now to talk about relief pitching and the offseason and expectations, realities. The Orioles ceased to be in the market for Dylan Cease as well. So other teams spend a lot of money. How are you? Happy, we're up on the winter meetings, aren't we? It's crazy, right?
We're to the month of December, and what? We're a little over 2 months away from pitchers and catchers reporting. I mean, it'll be here before you know it. Everyone's focused on football, and understandably so. But it's nice to see activity, right? I mean, I can't, as I've said to you, I can't say that I sit here and loved the Grayson Rodriguez trade, but Taylor Ward's going to help their lineup. I don't know if he's going to 35, 40 home runs necessarily, like he did last
Do they
year.
need him to do that? What if he hits 23 home runs and is somewhat of a three-quarter platoon player?
Well, I th tell me what Grayson Rodriguez did then. Anyway, point
Okay.
is, right.
Okay.
And hey, we're going to continue to talk about that. Grayson Rodriguez is going to have 4 years at the Angels, unless he has a career-ending arm injury or something like that, which maybe that's.
Well, I'll tell you what, he looked pissed off for greatness when he did his little interview, right? I mean,
Yeah,
he looked.
so they, they make that move. Obviously, they got Kittredge back earlier this month. I signed off on that. To me, you bring him back for cash after you rented him to the Cubs for a couple months. That's good business. And then over the weekend, they got their closer, and they signed Ryan Helsley of the St. Louis Cardinals for years, and a rental of the New York Mets. And we'll get into that because that is a rental that did not go well
Yeah, every
whatsoever.
Mets fan was like, oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
But I will say, if you go back to July 30th of last year, you're talking about Ryan Helsley being one of the very best closers in baseball over the previous 3.5 years. So it's a 2-year, $28 million deal. It includes an opt out for post 2026. If he has a great year, he's probably going to go to market again.
Price tags changed on closers a little bit, right?
I mean, it
Like,
all
I
depends.
remember
I
the
mean.
BJ Ryans of the world being like outrageous 4 or 5 year deals. It's a lot of money. Things have tamed down a little bit on that, a little
I mean,
bit.
it all depends. I mean, Josh Hader still got a 5-year deal, right? I
Right.
mean, recently. So I think, what's Edwin Diaz going to get? What's, some of the other names that are out there? Devin Williams is an interesting one because he's someone else who did not have a great year in 2025, but has a body of work that's really impressive. I like this signing. I do. And that's not to say that there isn't some risk here, but I think if you go back and look at what happened to Helsley with the Mets, he basically had one disaster month, right? If you go to August 9th through September 10th, so he had been a Met for what at that point a week and a half, and he was able to recover over the final 3 weeks of September to pitch pretty well. His last six appearances were scoreless, but over that month, which was 13 appearances, 10 innings, 20 hits, 16 earned runs, four home runs allowed, and he walked seven and struck out 11. I mean, he had a d absolute dumpster fire of a month. Now, if you go back and look for the context to that, there were quotes from him and the Mets coaching staff talking about there being an issue with him tipping pitches. His velocity, if you look at his average velocity last year compared to the previous years, it's 99 miles per hour. I mean, this guy throws really hard. He's got a great slider. He's basically a fastball slider pitcher. He'll mix in a curveball a little bit here and there, but his slider is his best pitch, and he throws 99. So if you're Michael Elias and you're the Orioles, and you're not, based on what we know about this organization to this point, and until we see different, we're going to continue to work under the assumption you're not really enamored with giving long-term contracts to anyone, let alone a late inning reliever, which, as we know, relievers are stocks, high risk kind of stocks year to
Well, that's
year.
what I'm saying. I mean, you got a guy that was really thought to be a
Was
top of class
outstanding,
guy. Yeah,
outstanding
yeah.
until having a really terrible month, from the second week of August to the
And he
second week
cost
of
himself a lot
September.
of money and probably 2 years on
Sure,
a deal, right?
sure. Well, and but that's why he looks at that and says, okay, 2 years, 28, and we're gonna have to see what the year one breakdown is and all that, but his thought is, if I have a great year for the Orioles, I can opt out and hit the market next year, and I'll be 32 as opposed to 31. The first comment I got from someone on this, and look, it was a fair question. So I don't want to, I'm not outing this reader or listener as someone that's just being a hater. But they asked, how am I supposed to think this isn't like Craig Kimbrel? And I said, I don't think it is. He's 5 years younger. As we talked about 2 years ago at this time, Craig Kimbrel had been on a roller coaster for about the better part of 5 or 6 seasons at that point in time,
Through three or four franchises.
where you could see him be really good for stretches and then horrible and then really good for,
Well, you get by on reputation. Russell Wilson was doing that, right? I mean, like at some point, Aaron Rodgers might be doing that this week.
So I look at this deal and I say, look, I think the upside is evident here. This was not someone who necessarily lost his stuff. Now, I think if you look at some of the stats in terms of like movement, his fastball is a little bit straighter, didn't have quite as much movement this past year. That is a red flag, but it's not like this gigantic flashing, this guy's washed up kind of red flag. I think it can be an adjustment or two made. Clearly he had, the thought was he very much had an issue with tipping pitches, and he did finish the last 2.5, 3 weeks of the season better. His last six appearances were scoreless. The Mets were also collectively a dumpster fire down the stretch, right? So
Unlike anything we've seen in a long time, really. I mean, they were
I mean,
terrible, right?
we talk about the struggles the Orioles had 2 years ago in the second half, but they still made the playoffs, and it's not as though they were 20 games under 500 and horrible. They just were very middle of the road, right? And then obviously, I'm talking second half of 24, just to be clear for anyone listening. So I think there is more than enough to have optimism that he's going to bounce back and be really good. I mean, this guy led the majors in saves in 2024. Go back and look at his 2022 season. I mean, he had a three and a half year run of being an elite closer. He had a really bad run with the New York Mets. Does that mean that this is a risk-free deal? No, of course not. There is some risk involved here. That said, even if he doesn't bounce back, and even if he's a lesser version of himself, and I'm not talking that he'd be, the version of the Mets that had a 14 ERA over a month. Let's say he settles into he's good, but he's not elite. 2 years, $28 million. And I know that's a different animal for the Orioles as opposed to the Dodgers, financially speaking. 2 years, 28 isn't a deal that's going to cripple you long
But
term.
it's also
But it's
a
real
little bit
money.
of a peace of mind that you got a guy that's done it before, that in
Pitched in the postseason.
April of this year is not the pennant race with the Mets last year. So to me, to think, all right, you settled something down, even if he looks awful in spring training or whatever. And I know the perception of reality is, we see perception, they see reality. I mean, they've got cameras and speed guns and doctors and pokers and prodders. They got all of that they can figure things out. Sports science is what they call it, right? I think there's a peace of mind that, all right, between him and Kittredge, we got some pieces we didn't have. And you mentioned like how much money he got, or and Hader, local guy, Batista, you know, the like what's happened to his earning potential for what it looked like, or for what Zach Britton went through here for a minute, for what that role looks like and how hard that is to do, to be the Cardinals closer for 4 years, every minute of every day, and show up in a pennant race circumstance in a real baseball town where there's 40,000 people at the ballpark every night. Like, he's been through all that and he chose to come to Baltimore. And to my way of thinking, if he goes to New York and has a very spectacular ending, which, because his career's been very good, and they get bounced in the playoffs after 48 hours, like a lot of teams do, or whatever, he might be a 4 year,
I was going to
50
say
million dollar guy,
he
right?
probably, to me, he probably would have been a 4-year contract guy. I mean, like literally,
Even at 31, even at that age.
I mean, four. I don't think Hader two. That was two. What? Or was that 3 winters ago? Hader's been with the Astros 2 years now, so he's
Well,
two
if you
years into that
believe in him, then
5-year
the
deal.
Orioles fell into something good
So
here, then, right?
that I think, yeah, there's a little bit of risk because yes, he had a horrible, horrible run with the Mets. There's no doubt about that. I'm not trying to ignore that,
But it's not because his arm fell off.
but because of the fact that his velocity was still high nine, I think his average velocity with the Cardinals in 24, I want to say, and obviously Statcast, they're different tracking, so like the numbers aren't perfect, but I want to say it was 99.6 with the Cardinals in 24, and it was 99.3 last year, right? I mean, you're not talking about like it's not like it went from 99 and he only threw 96 last year, kind of like what we were talking about with Batista coming back from Tommy John surgery last year, obviously before the shoulder. Is there risk? Yeah, but there's risk signing anybody, literally any pitcher you sign, that there's going to be some risk. I think the risk is pretty minimal here, if I'm being honest. And look, if he has a great year, you can extend him or try to. Assuming he opts out, right? I mean, if he has a great year and he opts out, you can extend him, or at the very least, you can give him the qualifying offer, which he might take. Because that would be, I what this year it was 20 point, just under 21, something like that. I might be a little off on that because typically the Orioles aren't in that space. So at least anyone's going to take it anyway. But he could do that. Or if he leaves after a year, you get a draft pick then, right? So I think, yeah, there's some risk here. And look, I'm cognizant
They have
of
to sign somebody.
exactly. And that's the thing. If you want the cleanest possible closer to sign, which I guess would be Edwin Diaz, although Edwin Diaz, remember, tore up his knee in the World Baseball Classic a couple years ago, right? I mean, but then you're talking about having to give a 5-year deal, right? I mean, that's what you're talking about there. So to me, this is a I like this so much better than Kimbrel 2 years ago. I mean, Captain Obvious. But even at the time, remember, I was skeptical of that when they signed him, not after the fact. But I like this way more. Is there some risk? Sure. Do I think it's reckless risk? No. I think this is much more in the measured. I think you're betting on that month, as awful as it was, being an aberration, and maybe he was tipping his pitches, or maybe there's a mechanical tweak that will help him get a little more run on his fastball, get him back to where he was the previous 3 seasons, and they think that he can be a legit shut down kind of closer for them in the ninth inning because they know they're going to need that, right? I mean, Felix Batista, even in a best case scenario, is out till August, and I don't know if he's ever going to pitch. If he does pitch, is he ever going to be anything close to the guy that he was? I mean, rotator cuff, labrum on top of elbow. So Batista right now, I think of him even less, and as far as trying to project anything, I think of him so much less than I did even Bradish last year, right? Coming back from Tommy John surgery. You can't even count on him. He's on the roster. Like they signed him and good. Don't just get rid of him,
It's
but
hard talking about bullpens in
it
December, I
is.
think, right?
Sure.
And saying who's going to be here, who's going to be where.
Yeah.
And they've depleted their starting depth right away with Rodriguez being like completely out of the picture, which
Right.
tells you just how they felt about him. I mean, the more I think about it,
Yeah.
to your point, I mean, every time I say something, you get flippant. Well, let me know when the stats come out. And I'm thinking like every fan feels that way. And when we're done talking about pitching, I do want to talk about whatever it is they're selling this month that needs to smell different than what the Angelos family sold here for 30
Yeah.
years.
Yeah. But you look at the state of the bullpen now. You've got Helsley for the ninth inning. You have Kittredge in, I don't know if straight eighth inning, because I still would like to see them sign another high leverage guy. That's not a closer, obviously, but let's say, think about, I mean, Sir Anthony Dominguez last year made $8 million, I think it was, off the top of my head. I'd like to see another addition of that ilk. Someone that's going to be like, you signed a 1 year 8.5, 1 year $9 million.
Don't those guys always tend to be a box of chocolates?
They can be, but I still think they need an arm like that to profile in with Helsley, with Kittredge, and the rest we're going to see. I mean, Keegan Aiken's
You'd
going to be
like
in the
to think that they would have something at Norfolk that they would think, well, that's 8 million we can save
and
somewhere,
it could
like they're
be,
trying to do with Mountcastle or Mayo or whatever. Or
but
like, quite frankly, what they're doing with the outfielder that they bring in and give away their number one pitching prospect because they just don't believe in him anymore to get an outfielder for a couple months, like literally, right?
yeah, I just think when you look at the sheer volume of bullpen arms they traded last summer, we know it. I mean, we kind of forget about Brian Baker because that was a few weeks before the trade deadline.
Right.
But they traded Baker, they traded Soto, they traded Dominguez, they traded Kittredge. I mean, they traded half their bullpen.
And
Well, I
all of
mean,
that is under the promise of
and
we'll spend money next year and get something else.
they traded all those guys from their bullpen, and then Felix Bautista has shoulder surgery. So that's where look, you made a very cogent point there in terms of like going and signing a setup man. It can be volatile, but I think just in terms of the sheer volume that they need for their pen, I feel like they need another guy like that, at least one more guy like that. Now, maybe that's a lefty, because right now you look at the makeup of their bullpen. Okay, you can sell me on Keegan Aiken. You can sell me on him being a sixth and seventh inning guy for you, right? I mean, he's not a bad reliever. He's not great. He's not someone I want pitching the ninth inning if Helsley is unavailable because he's pitched three of the previous four games. But you can sell me on him pitching in the seventh inning. But they need it. That's why, to me, they need another guy. And look, it might be a trade, or who knows what it could be. But I feel like they need another guy. That I'd like Kittredge to be my seventh inning guy if we're going to do this in a way where, and it rarely works out this way because you rarely have your entire bullpen available for every single game. But if all hands are on deck, I'd much rather Andrew Kittredge be my seventh inning guy. And we'll see where Yennier Cano is. I mean, Cano's got to have a good spring. I mean, that was a bad season he just had, but he's still a good arm. I'm not ready to give up on him in the way that you talked. It's a box of chocolates. You might get the version of Yennier Cano that is closer to being the all-star that he was two going on 3 years ago now, rather than what he was last year. But you don't know that. So you have Aiken, you have Cano, they brought back Rico Garcia, who had his moments certainly when they acquired him last, when he was in the picture. They the one young guy out of all the young guys they auditioned that I think pitched well. Now, I'm not ready to just hand him the eighth inning, let's be very clear, but I think has I would pencil him in pencil for my bullpen right now. I thought Cade Stroud pitched well, but is he ready to be an eighth inning guy for me? No. Like, I'd like him to be like one of the last two guys in my bullpen right now. So for that to be the case, you kind of look at the bullpen right now. Like, I'm using FanGraphs. They do a great depth chart, right? They kind of size everything up for you. Like, if the season began today, you'd have Helsley and Kittredge. You have Keegan Aiken. You have Cade Stroud. Dietrich Enns pitched well for them, right? I mean, that again, not necessarily a guy I want pitching the eighth inning for me,
Well,
but
some of the—I mean, these guys have to go down to Sarasota and win jobs.
they're gonna have
Like
to win, no
that's,
question.
yeah.
But that's why you need
Helsley
someone.
doesn't, and that's my point. My point is, all right, we got a ninth inning guy. He's going to be our guy in April and May until he's not. We're giving him this money. We believe in him,
You need him
and
to be
that's
really
that.
good. And that's, remember, last week, we were talking about this, and I said to you, just give me a move where I can say, check, I sign off on that. I'm good with that. I'm good. That I feel that way about it. I can't sit here with 100% conviction and say it's definitely going to work out, because any pitcher, there's some of that at work, right? I mean, look at the Diamondbacks. They signed Corbin Burns and the Orioles didn't. And now they missed him for half the season last year, and he's probably not going to pitch
Well,
most of
that's where
this
we
year.
are with Dylan Cease, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Like
that's just how it works.
seeing him go in the division and say, the critics come out and say, didn't want him, didn't make a difference in San Diego, whatever.
I mean, for
And
a
then I'm
seven-year
thinking to
deal, yeah.
myself, then you pencil his name in with the other four guys they got there, Barrios, and you're like, oh, okay, we got it. We're going with Trevor Rogers and Kyle Bradish. Okay, fair enough. I mean, and what else? And this brings you to your next point that we can check off on the bullpen and check off on Helsley, and you've got more on him, bring it. But then it's okay,
Yep,
what's
and then,
next?
well,
What's next?
and the what's next has to be the rotation, right? I mean, especially, not that I was penciling in Grayson Rodriguez, but he was at least on the shelf. Like, if you're asking me to fill out my starting five, he was over on the margin
Not in their
where,
mind, clearly, right?
right? No, but I'm just saying, before that happens,
If they had any plan for him at all, they wouldn't have made that move. Like, right?
I mean, you
Like
wouldn't think so.
literally, because of where his ceiling is. I mean, this is where journalism comes in. We miss Dan Connolly sniffing around, and Dave Shinen, and Ken Rosenthal, and Peter Schmuck, and me, and because
They're also just so secretive. I mean, they're
something
so secretive, right?
didn't rub right there. And
Oh,
even if he wins 14 games this year and smells the way Stowers did before Rodgers did,
well, then it was a bad
because we're
move.
going to judge it. We're going to
Yeah,
judge it.
then it was a bad move if that happens. But I'll go back to what my first blush reaction to that was, is they don't have any remotely high degree of confidence that he's going to be able to stay healthy. Whether it's something mechanically, whether it's something physically, whether it's something that, something in his makeup that they don't love. And I'm not suggesting he's not a hard worker, but does he work? Do they not like the way he works hard? Right. I don't know.
You
There have
could
been
be a
some.
hard worker and they could still must not get along. And he
I mean,
could
they're.
say, you guys screwed me up, and maybe he feels that way. And maybe
Yeah.
they just had to come to Jesus and said,
Well,
look, let me go somewhere else. You don't like me, I don't like you, let's go. And
see. But
that
that's
could
but
happen too. That could happen
it
too.
absolutely can. But that's the part that I reject, because I would say you need to do better on the return then, because this isn't someone who pitched horribly for 3.5 years and then you're just, someone's trying to reclimate. Yes, he was hurt,
He's a valuable asset for the
but there's
Orioles,
still a ton of
right?
upside, right? Exactly. And that's where I kind of said, going
The
back,
most valuable asset you can have. Like, that's the part that is way more valuable than Kobe Mayo, or, I mean, I don't want to say
sure.
Jackson Holliday or Rutschman's potential or
But
whatever,
he was in
but
that space, right? He
yeah,
was in
he
that
was
same
like,
space,
unless
sure.
you think he's broken, why would you deal
Well,
him?
and that's why I continue to go back to, like, the point that I made to you, where if someone had told us a year ago the Orioles would have a trade offer on the table of Grayson Rodriguez for Taylor Ward, we would have laughed in their face. And a year later, they did it. So I want to go back to we were talking about some of the risk involved here. You mentioned Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease, I mean, in a vacuum, would I have liked to have done that specific deal for that specific pitcher? No. But I'll go back to the quote from, it's probably close to a decade ago, Andrew Friedman. And I think this might have been when he was still with the Rays, probably was. And obviously, things changed for him when he went to the Dodgers. But he made the point, if you're always rational about every free agent, you will finish third on every free agent. And that's where the Orioles kind of find themselves at this point, especially being a team that is not going to have a
By the way, the
$300 million payroll.
headlines, they were in on him. They were, yeah, I remember all
And
that with
well,
Angelos being in on Mark Teixeira,
and let me
right?
be clear. Look, it doesn't have to be Dylan Cease, but it needs to be one of these guys. Like, you need a top of the rotation guy, whether we want to, split hairs here and say whether it's going to be a one and
All right,
Bradish.
what wows you? What wows you that you send a text out and I'm like, holy ish. Yeah, what? Cole Roofing, Gordian Energy, the WNST text, what? They said what? I mean, because the Helsley, they, yeah, okay. I mean, I expect them to spend $28 million. You know what I mean? Like they
Right.
are in the business of Major League Baseball. I don't expect them to spend stupid money. I think your bar is lower for them than you think it is. When we start to talk about things, you say, "Whoa, that's some really expensive." Like you and I walking into a bar and
Well,
saying, "That
no, I
tequila is really expensive." Let's just,
you
we can
but
do okay down here on this shelf. We don't know to need to go to that shelf.
are you going to overpay for crappy tequila
No.
or mid-range tequila? And that, so there still needs to be that. I will continue to push back
It's all a
until,
mystery tequila in baseball, though.
right.
It is.
But oh, sure.
And
But
you're always paying, you're reading the racing form. You're paying for past performance,
sure.
no matter
No,
what you're doing.
of course. But you also
Right?
have to, but that also doesn't absolve you from making a bad decision. I mean, you still need to try to
Well,
project
to
what you
your
think is going
point,
to be
it's a
best.
Freeman's point. Are there any good decisions?
Well, some Max when the Nats signed Max Scherzer, I mean that's the long-term pitcher contract that was like a dream. I mean, absolutely a dream. So, 7 years for Dylan Cease. Would I have done 5 for Dylan Cease? Yeah, 7. But at the same time, I'm fully acknowledging the Andrew Friedman quote, right? I mean, so if it's not him, it needs to be
It's
one of
one
the
of the
other
reasons
guys.
baseball is broken.
So,
I sound
well.
like an old man, but I sounded like an old man in 1994 before they went on strike the first time, so.
Well, it's broken, but in the same, well, but we don't say that about the NFL. The NFL doesn't do guaranteed contracts other than for Kirk Cousins, right? I mean, so, there's, look, I've talked about Ranger Suarez. I mean, I think as much as, you kind of look at this and say, okay, who are the true number ones? I'll continue to say, like, it needs to be someone that slots
What's the
in.
money you're talking about here? What do you got? What do you
I
got in
don't
your
know.
piggy bank,
I don't
David,
know.
Michael?
We're gonna find out. We're gonna find out. I mean, look, could there be a move that could be made that's going to get them a top half of the rotation guy that's a 3 or 4 year deal as opposed to a 7 year deal? If that's the case and they have the conviction for it, then great. But it better not be this year's version of Charlie Morton, right? It better not be this year's version of Sagano, right? It better not be, Kyle Gibson a couple years ago, right? They need better than that. Now, you want to go sign a back half guy because you did trade away Grayson Rodriguez, who at the very least, even a worst case scenario was a depth option for your rotation, an upside option for your rotation going into 2026, then yeah. So,
Where are you on the Eflin?
it's so t
Okay.
it's tough just because it's a back injury, right? I mean, it's a back surgery. I mean, is he even going to be ready for spring training? Put it this way, if Zach Eflin wants to take a 1 year deal, like for him to rebuild his value, because
Where
he
would
had a
you be on him
horrible
if he
year.
was healthy, though? I'm
Oh,
asking you, like, that kind of a signing
they'd have to be better.
feels more Charlie
Yes.
Morton than it does toward.
No way would that be the guy that I would say if I'm talking is going to slot in with Bradish and
Well, you're
Trevor
talking about your
Rogers.
opening day starter from 6, 8 months
Oh,
ago,
their
right?
rotation wasn't good enough. We knew that going into the
Right.
season, right? No. He would like that would be the guy that I would sign to be my number 4 or number 5 starter. Because I mean, he had a bad year, he's coming off of back surgery. If they had great reports on his recovery and he's willing to take a 1 year deal and it's for something that's sensible and has some incentives built in if he throws 150 innings, then great. I like Zach Eflin. I like the trade when they made that 2 years ago. He pitched really well for them the end of 24, at a time when they lost Grayson Rodriguez, if you remember. And they
Yeah, I
still had
mean,
a.
in the land of Jack Flaherty's
But
and
that can't be their best. That can't be their best signing, right? I mean, if that's the best they do, might be a bigger failure than last year. Because the difference now is you're coming off of a last place year. At least last winter,
are
you could
they going
say.
to be 150 to 250 million deep into a pitcher? Do you believe they're going to do that?
I mean, I kind of feel like you all 150 might be my max as far as what I think. Because to me, what would that be? Like a 5 year deal for 150 or something like that? I mean, it necessarily, it's so, especially in this day and age with opt outs and all that, it's so hard to really project it. And I'm going to plead ignorance in terms of really feeling like I'm so well informed of the market that I can give you an informed projection of what they'd spend on a starting pitcher. But if you're going to go get Ranger Suarez or Framber Valdez or go down the list of the other top pitchers that are out there right now, I mean, you're not getting these guys for a 1 or 2 year deal. I mean, you're just not. So what are you willing to do? How much long-term money are you willing to commit while also understanding that many of these pitchers are going to want an opt-out after a couple years, right? In all honesty, I don't think opt-outs, if you have the conviction that someone's going to be really good, then you shouldn't be that afraid of an opt-out from the standpoint of if they opt out, that probably means they pitched great for you for a year or two. And if that's the case, then you probably have gotten some surplus value relative to what you paid them. And the back half of whatever that original contract was, you're now free from that. And most pitcher deals, most long-term contracts, period, generally, if it's a good deal, you're getting surplus value over the first half. And then, you tend to lose some of that and give some of that back over the second half of the deal, right? I guess the exceptions would be like a Chris Davis deal, which was just bad from Jump Street and just got worse and worse. So, the opt-outs and that kind of, those kind of structures within a deal, you'd like it if you're taking on commitment, you'd like a guy to be around for more than just a year or two, but you also realize that that's the cost of doing business in this day and age in free agency. And if that guy opts out, then you feel great about it. Like the Orioles, they gave Tyler O'Neill a 3-year deal. Obviously, we know how that deal looks a year into it. It looks disastrous. But if Tyler O'Neill had hit 35 home runs this year, guess what? He'd be a free agent right now. And maybe the Orioles would have re-signed him, maybe not. Or maybe they would have said, you know what? We'll take that 1 year and we'll move on. And you were really good for us this year. So, it's going to be interesting to
Well,
see
it's a
how it plays out.
recency business in so many ways. About, I mean, where would you be on Trevor Rogers if I would have told you at the All-Star break?
Right,
You'd be
right.
counting on him to start opening day, and
You're talking about
everybody
him
be
being
talking about him being your incredible ace that's going to help you win the World Series next year, you
Yeah,
know?
I mean, let's face it. Yes, and this isn't me saying they don't need a top line starter because they do. But 6 months ago, the idea that we'd be talking about Kyle Bradish and Trevor Rogers, not that I was down on Bradish coming back from Tommy John, because most pitchers come back and Tommy John is successful and they resume their careers. It's a very high return rate, but it's not 100%. But the idea of what they had on paper going into the winter with Kyle Bradish and Trevor Rogers, if someone had said that to you 6 or 7 months ago, how you'd feel about those guys, you'd be very pleasantly surprised because
We spoke
Bradish.
about Kyle Bradish in the same way we spoke about Grayson Rodriguez, which is, we'll see, we'll see.
Yeah.
He's on the side,
Yeah.
right? Literally.
But with the way he came back and pitched, he's not on the side. He's in my top two or three. Now, the question for Bradish is what does his workload look like this year? Can you expect that he's going to throw 190 innings? That's very ambitious. That said, I don't think there's any reason to be any less optimistic on him than any other pitcher you have, right?
Okay,
I
but
mean,
I would say this, if they are of the mindset, if they're of the mindset that Trevor Rogers is going to be 9-3 with a 2.4 ERA and have 112 innings at the All-Star break, that he's that guy. He's going to take the ball and be the guy he was for 2 months when it didn't matter around here. And Bradish ditto. Bradish is going to come back and duplicate where he was in 23 and be 9-2 with a 2.7 ERA and make all of his turns and hit all of the numbers. That those two guys are going to look like that. Then I don't need to spend, I don't need Dylan Cease. That there's a thought about that, right? Or that I wouldn't need Dylan Cease until I could buy him with wowing a deal on July 30th for the Max Scherzer of the moment or the Jack Flaherty of the moment or whatever that thing is that you think that thing is, as opposed to spending Mr. Rubenstein's nickels and spending $184 million on a pitcher or $212 million, whatever that's going to look like. It's a shame they're so mysterious about this, and I want to segue because we're doing a baseball seg just about the fans temperature. We don't sit here and take phone calls. I'm not their bitch central anymore. I'm not. That's what got me thrown out 20 years ago, is that people called and complained in a way that they didn't take the complaints. Just the stuff I've seen on Twitter the last couple of weeks, where they've banned like good Oriole fans on Twitter and people that have been a part of the conversation. And Katie Griggs is out doing whatever she's doing. Like, I don't know what the fans expect this offseason, but the hardest core fans have been really offended. Not me.
Yeah.
I'm offended. I'm offended. I am very offended. I'm offended for different reasons. I'm offended by their arrogance. I'm offended by the owner. I'm offended by the way he treated me at the temple the night I mended. I'm offended by the Whistler clown. I'm offended that you have a press credential and I don't. I'm offended by the way they treat Jim Palmer, by the way. I'm offended by that. So I'm offended by a lot that they do, but they don't care whether, I mean, Katie's as much as said she doesn't care whether I buy tickets or come to the Mark, fine. They don't care about me. But who do they care about? And what do they care about other than winning, 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 winning? The fans are really antsy, way nasty antsy, in a way that I can't be, because I haven't given them any money in 20 years. And I went through that when Mike Flanagan was still alive. You know what I mean? Like, I went through all of that. Now I'm a reporter and I live here and I care and I wear orange and whatever. But my expectations for them as human beings, this group, really, really low. Really, really. I've seen these people. I've met these people. I've been. So I have no expectation that they're going to figure it out. But then I see like rank and file people that have supported this, spent money on this in years where they were just awful. Like, you spat upon them last week in one of our segments saying 5 years they stunk. They were all, and they were. And I think 23 sort of deodorized that a little bit in the hope of these young players and new ownership. And Angelos is dead and John's gone. And like, it should smell a lot different. And it really doesn't, man. And when Katie Griggs walks in the room, and I was in the room, and when Mike Elias walks in the room, and I haven't been in that room, but you were, and I watch it on video, and the Mancelino thing, and the new manager, and he's disappeared again. I mean, he'll just go away for a while now, I guess. I mean, I don't know, man. The whole thing, it doesn't feel like they're getting good press in their own. In their own punch bowl. The people that drink the orange Kool-Aid are mad. And that's not me. It's just me seeing it and saying, I don't know what blood these people want from the team, one way or another, in regard to ticket pricing, media, being able to get the game. I'm media, I don't mean me and you. I mean how to get my games. I mean, and baseball in general, and then the strike and or the lockout or whatever it's going to work stoppage, whatever you're going to call it, that is looming over all of it. It's just really, and this has nothing to do with the Ravens struggling and Pittsburgh week and all that. Just, man, I don't like the temperature of what I smell, and I live here. And Katie Griggs doesn't know Ruxton from, Randallstown, Registerstown, but I'm here, and the people I run into and I see, I went out to an Italian, Associated Italian men's group a couple weeks ago. I spoke about 80 people. I mean, these are all primary Oriole people, like primary Oriole people. And three of the people in the room said they went to a few games last year. And I'm thinking, they're not even mad. They're gone. And then the people that are the nerdier go out there into the flow of everything. And I'm not being, I don't want to be offensive. Younger people that, they clearly aren't into it because of Boog Powell or Louis Aparicio or Jim Palmer. Like, I don't know what a 30-year-old would find attractive about this, but whatever it is, they're mad. And I wouldn't know what to do to salve them other than be more authentic than whatever this is, where it doesn't feel like there's a plan. And Arrighetti feels like he's way more influential than anybody realizes. And Rubenstein feels like Mr. Magoo. It's just weird. It's just all weird. And the wow moment of spending $200 million on a pitcher, it's not going to make the phones light up at Birdland to buy tickets. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what they can do to get people excited. That's my problem with
Well,
it.
you know what I'm going to say. They've got to win. I mean, it like
Well, they can't
that's
do that now,
and they
right?
can.
So,
Well,
yeah.
and that's where, yeah, they're going to have to wear it a little bit in April and May. I mean, they just are, right? And that doesn't mean you don't work hard and you don't put as many ticket deals and packages and, gift ideas for the month of December and all
Promo
that.
schedules available,
Yeah,
kids.
well, I said that to you when we were talking to Pizza John's a couple weeks ago. The idea that they had already put out their promo schedule to me was very telling. And by the way, wasn't a I'm not even saying that was a bad idea, right? You should have that stuff out in plenty of time for people to look and say, hey, I really want to go to that game. I want to go to that game. I want to go to that game, rather than waiting till February to do that. But look,
Well,
it's
let
always
me say
it's
something. Let me just get flippant because I
that's
don't get
fine.
much of this. Because I want to see, you want to give these people the freaking bobbleheads and stuff. Don't make them stand out 92 degrees,
That's
three and a
fine.
half hours in
That's
line
fine.
to tell them Johnny doesn't get a bobblehead because he's number 15,001 or 20,001. Like, fix that ex ungodly experience. Like people are on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria coming across in a ship, stuck in that.
I mean,
It's disgraceful.
especially put some options, and I think they do that with their Birdland memberships, but for
I mean,
people who buy.
I know you're charging me $10 more for the ticket to buy the
Right.
bobblehead out of China or Taiwan.
Right.
Fine. I mean, I it's
I mean,
that's all I'm going to say on that because, like,
look,
it
I
feels
don't.
like a loser to be a winner on the promotional schedule because I see it and I used to stay. I was lucky enough to live high enough that I could look down upon the little people and just think to myself, my God, the humanity, I would say.
I don't disagree with you in a vacuum. I would also say I know from people, Orioles, people who cover the Orioles that were out in LA when they did Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night, people were lined up at the stadium at 9 a.m., right? I mean, I don't disagree with your general point. I don't think that's an Orioles only thing. But that said, are there measures you can take to mitigate that so you're not treating people like they're, like hogs waiting to be fed or something like that? Yeah, I mean, so, but to go back to, the greater point here, and because you talked about why, so many people were so frustrated, so many people were checked out, even the, die hard, been there, went to 30 games in 2018 and 19 Orioles fans, how many of them are frustrated? Look, it's never just one thing. I think, having talked to different people in my life, people that were 13 game plan holders who that plan is no longer a thing. 29 game plan holders now being asked to do a 40 game plan, right? I mean, so they've changed things like that. But I think for me, and generally speaking, and this even goes back to you cited what I said recently about how, they stunk for 5 years. I think there's such a sense for this current iteration of the Orioles, this current
The
era, the
Elias.
Elias and
Right.
now the post-Angelos Orioles, that they went through this rebuild, they went through all this transition. They did not shy away from the fact and saying they were going to stink for a few years, right? They did not shy away from that. They did not promise that they were going to spend on major league players and then not do it. They said point blank that they were rebuilding and this was a multi-year thing. So people heard that. I think people accepted that as much as they could. I think even those who are the diehards continued to go out there and, tickets were cheaper then and, they had some perks for Birdland membership holders and all that. So they get good. There's excitement. That does not result in a single playoff win in 23 or 24. The second half of 24 goes the way that it does. At that point in time, the new regime is in and they're already raising season ticket prices and changing the parameters for buying postseason tickets and locking in for the next year and all of that. And I feel there's very much at this point in time now, especially in the aftermath of a last place season, that fans were promised something and a job was not finished, yet the team is proceeding as though things are great. And boy, this is just the cost of doing business. And I think there's a betrayal that's felt there amongst a lot of season ticket holders who stuck by them through this time. And look, we can go back. I mean, and there's a lot of baggage. There's a lot of scar tissue that you've talked about at length. But even going
That
back,
they
no
absolutely
question,
never acknowledged
no
in
question,
any
but
circumstance, not publicly, and certainly not to me when I went to that Chris, whatever, Ullman, whatever his name is, Mark Fine, my LinkedIn buddy. Like, I went to these guys, and I went to David Rubenstein, looked him in the eye, had my hand on his hand, and said, there's been a lot of trauma here. Like, I mean, like,
Right. And look,
I mean Mike Flanagan in my case, right? But I mean, there's been a lot of trauma here
there
in a
has been.
general scope of what this franchise has represented for the people who still love it and still have their Christmas tree with Birdland stuff on it. And I'm not here to in any way diminish those folks, but those folks that supported this when I no longer could, because I went in and said my integrity won't allow this. In many, many, many ways, in many cases, for many years, but these people endured it for whatever it is. And I saw how important it was when I was out there on clinch night and seeing people out there that had waited another generation to have a night where they could win a
Sure.
division 2 years
Well,
ago. So, I mean,
and that's where we go back to, look, this is leisure. This is entertainment. This is an escape for people. Like it's not always that deep, right? And how deep and how important it is varies from you to me to anyone listening right now
and why? Because it
to
goes back
people.
50 years for me, and my
Yeah,
cousin coming
exactly.
off a boat and bringing me to
But I
America from
think,
Venezuela, which we're
but
now going to war with, by the way. But that's a, but like, yeah, I mean, we all have a story. My
I think.
story's a little bit more unique, but your story's your
Sure.
dad and your dad being an usher in Essex, and your dad loving Brooks, and like
Yeah.
all of that. That's
Yet I haven't lived anything of, as far as the team's success, I haven't lived anything of real no. I mean, in my lifetime, and I'm not counting when I was 2 weeks old, right? Sorry,
Delmon
like
Young's your moment.
my lifetime. I mean, the Delmon Young thing, as far as a Camden Yards in-game moment, yeah. But in terms of like their success, we're talking about three trips to the ALCS over my lifetime, 96, 97, and 2014. They haven't had a, I mean, they barely sniffed a pennant, let alone actually won one in going on 40,
They haven't won an
43 years
ALCS
now.
game this century.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, but to bring it back to the here and now, because again, I agree with you, an acknowledgement of the past. At the same time, I also don't know what exactly they can do. Like, I mean, acknowledge it, pledge to be better, but they can't change history, right? So, but to bring it back to the modern, this current regime, there was a plan that was laid out that they were going to really stink for 3, 4, 5 years, right? And again, the first year of that was before Elias even arrived, right? That was the unintentional losing year, where they signed Alex Cobb and Andrew Cashner and thought that they were gonna, somehow figure out how to have one more wild card run before before Manny Machado
I
left.
couldn't think of
But
Alex Cobb's name 5 minutes ago to
yeah,
save my
so but
life.
remember that season was like that. But you have this multi-year plan, you have this great farm system. You didn't spend money with the idea that you were going to spend money when you got good, right? And that's why people don't trust these long-term rebuilds. I know, and I'm wrapping up here, but it got to a certain point, and then what's next? It feels very much unfinished, right? And that's where the concern here is. Yet how they perceive it, and how they're charging ticket prices and doing the things that they've done with changing Birdland membership. And Katie Griggs would tell you they're modernizing that because that was antiquated in how they did it. And maybe so if you compare to the other 29 teams. I don't know. I'm not intimately familiar with how every team does that. Yet the product on the field stunk this past year. And when that is coupled with everything that led up to that, and you're making those changes in terms of pricing and tickets and all that, and you had this long rebuild, yet two playoff appearances and not a single win. Yeah, people are going to be ticked off about that. And you've got a lot to prove. And it's why this is a critical offseason. That said, I'm not sure there's a player they could sign that is automatically going to make anyone sign up for a full season Birdland membership. So you need to go make some darn good moves and then go win. And if you do that, come April and May and June and into the summer, people will start to come back. If you don't, and you have another last place finish, then whew, I shudder to think what that ballpark looks like the second half of next year. But that's why you need to go out and go spend money. You keep saying you have money to spend, go do it. Spend it wisely, but go do it and make this a better ball club.
Ha! It's nice to be important, but it's much more important to be nice. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.